When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, Sirius XM, channel 1.59, the Sports Grid Radio and Television Networks. Let's do this thing. Our boy Mo Khan is going to step up and in a couple of minutes. We'll run the gauntlet with Mo. NBA, NHL, NFL draft. Of course, the countdown of the NFL draft is on. And I've been talking a lot about this Brock Bowers pick in the top 10. And some of the lines have moved around. The quarterbacks, like the Jaden Daniels stuff, has been crazy, right? It went all the way down to minus 130 last week. And now it's back up to like 350, 370. People are pretty much convinced he's going to be the second pick in the draft. We're going to put together we'll do like a mock draft. You know, I don't know, the first 10, first 15 or whatnot for betting purposes. We'll do it on tomorrow night's show. It's a hard draft to handicap. It is and it isn't. I think there's certain spots. Like I said, the Brock Bowers pick in the top 10. Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. And he's kind of like a hybrid wide receiver tight end, dude. It's funny because I've heard people talk about his size. They're like, well, he's not really a traditional big tight end. And I'm like, isn't he like 6'4"? He's like 6'4", 230. I mean, he's pretty big. You know what I mean? So, and he's fast. That's the whole thing. People are like, well, it's 40 this and that. No, but he's football fast. Like, he gets open. He's one of these deals. He's just sort of like a good combination of everything. Like, he runs really crisp routes. Like, he's another guy. He's like, studies tape a lot and stuff. To me, like, I kind of compare him. Like, he's almost like it's like a crossover between like a Travis Kelce and like a Cooper Kupp. Right? Like, he runs these routes. Like, you could throw him the ball over and over on an out route if you wanted. Like, he gets open like a wide receiver, but he's hard to tackle. Like, he's amongst the top players in the country as far as yards after the catch, even more than these wide receivers, right? He runs people over after. I've heard people talk about, well, Brock Bowers, he could get hurt. He's injury this. I don't know. Did I miss something? Because he played 15 games, and 10 games. So he had one injury. Right, he didn't miss any. 2 years already, he played 15 games, and he played 10 games this past year. And he could have come back sooner, actually, but they laid off because they were gunning for the national championship. So I'm all in on Brock Bowers. I think the kid's a stud. And will it be the Tennessee Titans, though? The Titans make sense, a lot of sense for Brock Bowers. You know, Will Levis needs weapons, but they also need help on defense, and they brought in Calvin Ridley. They have DeAndre Hopkins. So now you have Ridley and Hopkins. You brought in Pollard, the running back from the Cowboys. So you've bolstered your offense quite a bit. I could see the Titans going defense, actually. And we're just thinking outside the box here. Listen, everybody's thinking that Dallas Turner, right, is going to be the first defensive player taken. That's, you know, one of the big consensuses out there. You know, our boy Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, All Access Football, he's been pretty, like, you know, for the last couple of months, saying, it's not a lock that he's the first defensive player taken. He's thrown out, you know, the DB, the defensive back, and Murphy is the kid I'm looking at here that potentially could be a surprise pick. And it's yet really, really crazy odds, actually, that Murphy from Texas will be the seventh pick to the Tennessee Titans. So as much as we think we know about this draft, what do we really know? We don't know. We don't know. We still don't know. We know that Jaden Daniels going second. We don't know who the Patriots are taking third overall. They want to trade the pick. Nobody's called them yet for it. They're getting desperate, publicly saying how they want to trade the pick. I'm not so sure they're going to. I think they might get stuck with the third pick. I think they go J.J. McCarthy. I'm not locked in on it, but I think they do go J.J. McCarthy personally. We know Marvin Harrison's going to be the fourth pick to Arizona. Then it gets funky again. Let's say the Chargers don't trade the pick. Dude, they lost Keenan Allen. They lost Mike Williams. Like, they need some weapons. As much as Harbaugh's a fundamental guy, offensive line guy, wants to, you know, build up a foundation, and he does, and Joe Alt would make a lot of sense. If you're the Chargers, you see Brock Bowers there. You see Malik Nabers there. That's hard to pass up, right? And then the Giants, no one really knows what the Giants are doing either. I don't think they know what they're doing. Like I said, it's a very weird draft in the sense that a lot of other teams, it's almost like these general managers this year are like us in a fantasy football draft. They're kind of like at the mercy of the people in front of them, right? Like they don't know. So like I imagine it's pretty daunting task actually for a lot of NFL teams, all the different scenarios that they have to play out actually that they have on their wall. Like, what if Drake May is taken third overall and McCarthy's there and this team wants to trade? Like, there has to be so many different scenarios here. So Brock Bowers, though, top 10 pick, plus 120. We were talking, and Mo Khan will join us in a couple of minutes on the other side. I look forward to his take. Michael Penix's stock seems to have risen quite a bit throughout this draft process. Right before it was like, well, you know, we don't like left-handed quarterbacks. Well, he's not very mobile. Well, he's hurt all the time. He's had a lot of surgeries. He's old. Right? There were a lot of negatives about him. And I didn't love the way that he played against the Michigan Wolverines. And you could say, well, he wasn't 100%. He was hurt and he was running for his life. But that's what it's going to be like in the NFL. Right? That was as close to the NFL as you're going to get seeing that Michigan defense. And they did confuse him. Right, they did confuse him, but the kid's got a cannon. He throws lasers. He throws crisp, tight, spiral NFL footballs, and he's also a very smart quarterback. He's a football junkie, high IQ. Like we said, during this process and in any interviews, like every coach all walks out saying, man, that kid's like smart, man. He knows football, right? So they like that. Right? Coaches like that. And Mel Kiper's got Penix going to the Raiders. But he's got him going to the Raiders 37. And I respect the hell out of Mel, but I don't see Penix lasting that long. I think if you want him, you have to get him in the first round because I don't think he gets out of that quarterback role. But we discussed this earlier a little bit. What does Zach Wilson mean for the Denver Broncos? Does Sean Payton actually think, you know what? Zach Wilson's better than Bo Nix is, or I can work with this kid. And we're not trading up. We're not taking a quarterback. 82-77 right now. The Nuggets are going on a run. They've cut the lead to 5. There's still a lot of basketball left. There's 8-18 left in the basketball game. So there's a lot of intrigue about this NFL draft. We'll go over some of the odds, and we'll just sort of set the table for everything. There's, you know, literally hundreds of props and stuff. Bets that we've made, we've been sharing them. We're already locked in on Jaden Daniels to be the second pick. So we got that in right now. We're locked in on Jaden Daniels, second pick. We've got the total offensive lineman taken in the first round under 9.5 at plus 160. I'm locked in on that. I've got a play in, and you can get better odds than I did, actually. They've been bouncing around everywhere on this one. But I played the exact top three picks in exact correct order. Caleb Williams won. Jaden Daniels 2, J.J. McCarthy 3, and I got plus 600 on it, and it plummeted to like plus 300, and it popped back up to like plus 1100. Like, it's really, it's the NFL draft. It's a fluid market. This stuff is all over the place. So we'll get you the updated numbers. First running back selected, Jonathan Brooks is plus 120. I'll tell you what, Rick Saratella will join us tomorrow, but Trey Benson. Trey Benson is getting a lot of love, actually, and you're getting plus 225 out of Florida State to be the first running back taken. It wouldn't surprise me, actually. And this stuff's all about plus money. Hell, Brooks is plus money at plus 120. But I know the media likes Brooks, but I think the teams like Benson, and at Benson at plus 225, not a bad bet to be the first running back taken. And we'll start to give you some of the numbers for your favorite teams and who they're gonna draft. Mo Khan will step up and in on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. A shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates stepping up and joining us tonight, including the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, SoCal in the house. The Lakers are up a 5 spot right now. They were up by 20. So Denver's doing their thing. They're chipping away 82-77, 7.5 left. Hachimura going to the free throw line. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now, TSN statistician, former wide receiver, basketball play-by-play voice, and much more. Good to see you, Mo. How you doing tonight? Thanks for joining us.
I am well, Gabe. Our bet comes to fruition on Thursday night at around like 9 o'clock. We'll find out who the top four quarterbacks will be, and we'll find out who gets that lovely hat by the end of the night.
Oh, that's right. So our wager is, and I saw the NFL draft hats. They look pretty nice. Our wager is, I said that J.J. McCarthy will go ahead of Drake May. Mo disagreed. Right. We did this about a month ago or so. How do you feel about it now, actually? Listen, we know Williams going one.
Yeah,
I believe it, and everyone else believes that Jaden Daniels is going to go too, despite the little controversy last week that he was turned off, that they were meeting everybody at once, and you're going to have to deal with that, Daniels. It is what it is. They're taking you. Second overall, then it's the third pick, right? Is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Is it going to be Drake May? Are the Patriots going to trade the pick? Nobody's traded for the pick yet, Mo, and we're on the clock right now.
Yeah, I still think it's Drake May. Again, McCarthy... he's going to be the fourth quarterback taken, Gabe. I know you're high on McCarthy, the Michigan man that he is, and what he did for the Wolverines program the last couple of years. But I think for Drake May, we know that he definitely has some red flags that he may not be ready to play game number one of 2024. But I think the long-term play for what he can bring as a football player, if you put him in the right system, he can grow and get himself into that position. Now, if you're in the Minnesota Vikings, if you trade up to number four with Arizona or number five with L.A., and you get McCarthy, that might be the best spot for J.J. to go to because of what's surrounding him in that talent pool. Right? You got Jefferson, you got Addison. O-line's very strong. You have a great offensive-minded coach in Kevin O'Connell, and that might be the play for the Vikings if they get into the top four, if not top five of the draft. But you're right, Gabe. I think if there were to be trades to be done, and you know, history is showing that a lot of these top five picks, trades, have been done in mid-March or early April. We're past that point now. And now we're inside 48 hours of the NFL draft. If there were to be a trade, it would be one of those mammoth deals because one of these teams is holding on for dear life to say we can get ourselves an extra second pick or fourth round pick in that package. So I think if it does happen, Gabe, it might happen on Wednesday night, if not Thursday morning for sure.
I'm starting to believe that it's not going to be as crazy as people think. And I said this a couple of minutes ago, but for people joining us, like I could see like a Minnesota trading up to like seven or something at the time, if like depending on who is still there. But I don't think Arizona want to trade the pick, point blank. I think they're happy with Marvin Harrison. And I think the Patriots do, but what's the cost? How much do they actually want for the pick, I think, is a key cog there. I do believe the Chargers would be open to business to trade the pick. And we don't really know what the Giants are going to do, but I'm of the belief, Mo, that the Giants will not take a quarterback, actually. What do you think? If you had to say six, what's your prediction for the Giants? And let's see team to draft player. All right, so let's see number six overall here.
5.5? Wasn't the betting line right now 5.5 quarterbacks going in the first round, I believe, this morning?
Four and a half.
Right. I still think it's over 4.5.
Well, look, Malik Neighbors right now is plus 160 to be the sixth pick in the draft. That's the Giants slot. Right. Roman Dunze is plus 250. J.J. McCarthy is plus 500. I think they're going to hang on to Daniel Jones another year. That's just my gut feel that the Giants go with the wide receiver, actually. They need some weapons on this team. Malik Nabers or Roman Dunze would be a nice fit for these guys.
Gabe, I'll say this. We spoke about this back in Jan and Feb. Next year's draft class in 2025 is rather poor. And that's why the prediction, the forecast that I think it'd be five quarterbacks, maybe six in the first round, is because there's more talent to be had here, where they're saying after seven quarterbacks that might go in the first rounds of this week's draft, there aren't any quarterbacks to be had in rounds 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, right? So I just think there'd be a team out there that will say, that's our guy right there. We need to trade up whatever we have to do to get to number 6, number 7, or number 5 with the Chargers to get our quarterback. Because, look, Gabe, the reality is, if you're the Chargers or Cardinals, you don't want to trade too low to, say, 11, 12, 13, which might take you out of the range of an Adunze, of a Nabers, or even a playmaker that's quality at that point here. And that's why if you're the Raiders, if you're the Broncos, you better up the ante if you want to get into that top five pick here to get yourself that quarterback. So a lot of moving parts, Gabe, but I agree with you that there won't be as many trades as we always forecast there will be when we get to the combine in late February, and now as we move towards draft day on Thursday night.
But we don't know. This is the whole thing.
Right.
We don't know that maybe these quarterbacks aren't as attractive to certain teams as people think they are. A good example is Denver. What's Denver up to with Zach Wilson right now? Put it this way. It would be strange if you were Denver to bring in Zach Wilson and then also bring in another young quarterback. Like, I could see, like, okay, we're drafting a quarterback, but let's have a veteran quarterback. They have Stidham there, right? So did Sean Payton make a decision and think, you know what? I think that Zach Wilson's better than Bo Nix is, or he's better than – I don't even like these guys. Right, Sean Payton might not like those guys, and he might say, "You know what? We could draft something else here, and stockpile some more talent, like a wide receiver, and we're going to go with Zach Wilson." Now, I'm not saying it's going to work out for him in the MO, but what do you make of that move? Curious move that they would do this, because it wouldn't make sense, right, to have another young quarterback there with Zach Wilson.
Well, remember, Sean Payton had another BYU quarterback down in New Orleans, right, and Taysom Hill. I mean, a multi-gadget football player for the Saints. But you look at Zach Wilson, I just think that in New York land, it was a bad fit, from the system that he was in to where he was with LaFleur and all these guys.
Yeah, the city, the team, the place, everything. Nothing was good.
He goes to Payton, he'll get the best out of him because he's a quarterback whisperer by theory for what he's done with Drew Brees. So I think that's a fascinating look at him. But I think the Broncos, with where the position, probably won't get that top-tier quarterback that they desire at that number 12, number 13 pick.
Michael Penix. Is Penix going to be there? Which he could be.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Monday Night Meltdown continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Ramsey. We're kicking it with our boy Mo Khan. We're working on a new clock right now. It's our first night, but it's all good. We're rolling with it. The Lakers are up right now trying to finish off the Denver Nuggets. We got a four-point basketball game with 3 minutes left. It's 91-87. Meanwhile, the LA Kings are trailing the Edmonton Oilers 4-2 after 40 minutes of play. The Oilers are up 4-2. We got our boy Mo Khan in the house right now. We're talking NFL draft. We'll jump into the NBA as well in a couple of minutes. But a lot of stuff to unpack as far as the draft is concerned. And the bets that I put in so far, I'm playing under 9.5 offensive linemen taken in the first round. I think 10 is just a little bit too high. It'll get to 8, I think, maybe 9. But I don't think it gets to 10. We're getting plus money with that at plus 160. I got Brock Bowers to be a top 10 pick at plus 120. I think that Bowers is a guy, Mo, like I said, with Tennessee. Tennessee's an interesting team right now. They've had a pretty nice offseason offensively, bringing in Calvin Ridley, bringing in Pollard. You already have DeAndre Hopkins still. But Brock Bowers would be another, like, really good addition with Will Levis to this offense. But at the same point in time, their defense is terrible. So they really could use some help as well on the defensive side of the football. So the Titans, they could take Dallas Turner. Maybe they take Murphy, who's a long shot, actually. It wouldn't be shocking. A lot of people really do like Murphy a lot out of Texas. What do you think about the Tennessee Titans at the seventh spot?
It's fascinating because I heard you at the top of the hour talking about Byron Murphy, the D-tackle from Texas. Remember, they got Jeff Sims as well at that position, right? The biggest pressure point for any D-line is to have that pressure coming from the interior, right? That's where you get your quarterback off the mark. If they get themselves a Byron Murphy to complement Simmons, that would be massive for the spine of the defense. But then you look at the kid from UCLA, Latu, right? This is a kid that's kind of going up in the charts right now of what he could be, maybe the first edge rusher going off the board over Dallas Turner for what he's done. I think Turner's fabulous. I think he's a near 5'2 player for what he did for Alabama, and will definitely be up there whether he goes to the Falcons or somewhere in the top 10, if not top 15. But I think, as we were talking off air, it will be offensive heavy, no question about that, with receiving depth, and as you mentioned before, with the O-line, with Joe Alt, the kid from Penn State and all that. But I just think what it'll come down to is that, again, the supply and demand of quarterbacks going, you know, top four, if not four in the top six, will push everyone down by three or four notches. And that will bring back the quality that maybe a team in the late teens might say, you know what, we could trade up to get ourselves that Dallas Turner player because he's that one player that we're missing for our pass rush that we might need as a contender in our division or in the conference. But the guy that I'm watching out for is Cooper DeJean of Iowa. You know, he got banged up against Michigan, as we all know, in the Big Ten title game, Gabe. But this is a kid that can play all over the football field. And that's a wild card for what he brings as a five-school player, as a DB. And Cooper DeJean...
Oh, he'll be a first-round pick.
He'll be a first-round pick, but I think he might go higher than expected because, again, the run of DBs with Arnold, the kid from Toledo, you look at DeJean as well. DeJean's the X factor because, in fact, he can play as a safety. He can play inside as a nickel corner or as a halfback or as an outside corner. So this kid has the ability and the intangibles that you look for in the DB. And that makes him more desirable for, say, the Eagles or for a team like the Raiders or even a dark horse team that might look at him and say he could be the difference maker for our defense going towards the playoff run that we might need, including the Detroit Lions.
95-95, Michael Porter's just hit a three to tie the basketball game. 95-95, we got a good one going on here as the Nuggets have come back, but they've been trailing all game here. We'll see if the Lakers are able to hang on. What about a minute? How much time exactly left here in this game right now? Minute eight. Mo Khan with us. And one thing, Mo, you talk about defensive linemen in this draft. Very, very good defensive linemen in this draft. Like we were talking, yeah. So you got Dallas Turner. So first defensive player to be taken in the draft right now is Dallas Turner at plus 100. Latu is plus 200 out of UCLA. Byron Murphy out of Texas, plus 250. I'm a big fan of Jared Verse out of Florida State. This kid's got, real determination, climbed the ranks. He wasn't a big recruit and stuff out of Albany, of all places, right? So he wasn't a big-time recruit. He's playing himself, man. This kid is a physical freak. I know that some people say, oh, he doesn't have enough moves, right? He's an edge guy, speed guy. But he's damn good. Mitchell is good. Arnold is good. You got some really good defensive players here in this draft, talking about Cooper DeJean from Iowa as well. So the Lakers score right now. They're up 97-95. D'Angelo Russell scores. They're up a deuce right now. 102 left in the game. More with Mo Khan on the other side. The playoffs are here. Let's roll.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, make it 99-97. LeBron takes it to the rack. I'm going to tell you what, man. Denver's defense is lacking this evening. Like, you can't just let LeBron just run to the rack like that consistently like they are. So they're down by two. There's 30 seconds left in the game. And now they've tied the game. Big-time drama. Jamal Murray hits the deuce here, Mo. 99-99 game. Lakers with the basketball. 20 seconds left. There's 15 seconds on the shot clock. So it's going to be like a five-second differential. And LeBron James arguably just got away with, like, a charge and took a three. kind of too soon, too. He took a three. It did not hit. The Nuggets have the ball. Murray's going to go for the win here. Murray's got the ball. He's taking it. Unbelievable. There's one of those moments. There's NBA playoff moments. Jamal Murray at the buzzer. He was like, give me the ball. No Jokic. Murray's like, no, I got this. Like, Murray took it to the last second, man. He milked it. He shot literally like as the clock was about to go. Nothing but net, Mo. 101-99 final score.
If we can screenshot your reaction right now, Gabe, on that shot, game-winning shot by Murray, your eyes lit up. Like, you're like, what the bleep just happened?
That was epic. That's an epic playoff moment there. Over AD, he did a little shoulder like move. AD, you know, to get a little space there. AD bought it too. Wow, and he hits it. And poor AD, look at AD, Mo, falls into the Lakers, into the Nuggets bench. So they're all celebrating around him, and he falls into their bench, like, at the shot.
No, they're done.
Something about that area, bro. It's like the Kawhi shot in front of his own bench years ago. Something about that part of the court in these NBA playoff games, Mo. It's where the magic happens.
Always. Now, the Lakers are done, Gabe. They're done. They're finished. They'll get maybe one game in L.A., but it's going five tops.
That was gut-wrenching for the Lakers right there.
Demoralizing.
If you think about it, if you add up the halves and the quarters, like what if we went like the four quarters the other day? So the Lakers were up at the half, right? And they end up getting, you know, it falls apart. You know, with about seven, eight minutes left in the game, the fourth quarter they pull away, falls apart for them. Tonight they led all night, and they end up losing. This is what happened to them last year, except it's even closer this year. It's more painful. Where they got swept last year, Mo, but they didn't really get blown out in any of the games, right? They were kind of in the games. They ended up losing by 10 or something, but they were in the games. They weren't getting blown out, but that's a gut punch right there. Them and the New York Islanders just did the same thing tonight. You let them off the hook. You had a road game in your back pocket, and you let them off the hook.
Yeah, it's smash and grab by the Nuggets, right? But you go back to game one. Just how in the second half made that point they couldn't score, the Nuggets never got off their game plan. Like, they were in control of that ball game. And then now tonight, with the fact that LA was up by, 20 points in the second half? Yeah. I mean, for Darvin Ham, that's his biggest knock, is that his in-game adjustments have been lacking at times. And when he has to rely on LeBron to be the in-game adjustment, you can't do so now, Gabe. The reality is LeBron is still going to be that guy that we all enjoyed the last 20 years. But this is the moment where Anthony Davis has to step up and be the man. That's why they brought him to L.A., to be the man, to be the true 1A to the number one in LeBron. And in this situation now, if you're the Lakers, going back to L.A. down 0-2, it's a demoralizing situation now. And like I said, they might get one in L.A., but it's going five tops, and that's it for L.A. And now they have to ask themselves questions about this roster composition, if this is now a worthy team to keep LeBron in the fold, or if not, look elsewhere.
I think it's more a bad matchup for them. Like, if the Lakers were playing against almost anybody else, you know what I mean? It just sucks for them. They ended up getting the defending champion Denver Nuggets, and they lose their advantage with AD because, you know, Denver has Jokic. It's just not a good matchup. The Lakers have a favorable matchup against a lot of teams. They don't. And I know it was laughable at the time, right, that to lose the game. But the fact of the matter is, Oklahoma City would have been an easier matchup and a better matchup for the Lakers than the Denver Nuggets.
Yes and no, but OKC's youth might have been the situation that might be the difference compared to the Lakers' veteran roster that they have. But OKC's speed and closeout ability on the perimeter would have made things a lot more difficult for the Lakers. But, you know, there's no question. You're right that this Denver-Laker matchup is a terrible board play for the Lakers and how they want to be as a unit here. And again, it's no fault of their own. They put themselves in this position to be in the playing game. They won their playing game, rightfully so. And now they go back to LA, down 0-2. The question now for Darvin Ham is, what will it be his adjustments in game number three? Because Michael Malone, you said before, Gabe, this defense was allowing LeBron to do what he did in game two. Mike Malone is a master tactician. He'll lock it down. He'll bring back his late father style of defense to kind of curtail LeBron and force everyone else to beat the Nuggets in games three, maybe four.
One thing about Denver, they remain calm at all times. It's their winning pedigree. They don't get rattled, right? You saw that tonight. They didn't get rattled, even though, because to be honest, a lot of teams, Mo, I mean, the Lakers, I give the Lakers credit. I mean, every time Denver scored and tied the game, the building is going crazy. The Lakers would respond and score after. Like, they literally, you know what I mean? They got the steal. LeBron, like, they would stop. They would get this. They would score, and they kept putting pressure. Like, if you're the Lakers, there's not much more you could have done there. You put the pressure on Denver, and Denver hit the shot at the end. Massive clutch shot for Jamal Murray, who's an underrated player, Mo. Right? People, like, you know what I mean? I've seen people don't have, like, these two as a top five combo and all this and stuff, but I think that motivates this team. So the Nuggets take a 2-0 series lead. What did you think of the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks tonight, Mo? Really close, crazy game, and another let-them-off-the-hook type of moment, man. The Sixers had them and let them off the hook.
They did, right? That last minute was utter chaos of what you don't want to be as a Sixer fan, right? But then, Gabe, you think about the Sixer team and what they're doing now with Nick Nurse. You know, if there's one thing that Nick Nurse has done well in his NBA coaching career is those series adjustments that he's done. Remember with the Raps, right? When the Raps were, I think, were down 0-2 to Milwaukee in 2019 in the third round, they came back and won that, right? I don't think this is going to go back to New York with the Knicks up 3-1. I think this will be 2-2 going back to New York. The question that will come down to for the Sixers is, again, can they rebound better in the paint and close out those chances here? Because again, in those tight situations right now, Thibodeau's come up with that guts and glory type of play here in games one and number two here. But I think for Nick Nurse and what he has to get from his starting five and from his bench play, can he make those small little adjustments that'll get them that extra rebound that might convert for a 2-3 point win at that point in game three, if not four?
Mo Khan kicking with us. I am Gable Morenci. So a lot of people like the Pacers, including myself. I like the Pacers even if Giannis was playing. I thought that, you know, I like the way the Pacers are playing basketball coming into the playoffs, but you never know how teams are going to react in the playoffs or how they're going to play. And that was a terrible performance by the Pacers in game one. They got to take advantage of Giannis not being there, and they didn't. And now we've got game two tomorrow night. What do you think about game two here with the Pacers and Bucks?
Yeah, this reminds me of the Sacramento Kings last year, Gabe, right? When the Kings came in, the sort of the, you know, new hot team that people were looking at with the youth that they had, and they got, you know, they had the Golden State Warriors and all that stuff, right? But in this situation now, and you heard the quotes afterwards, we got to step up our play, essentially, right? Like they got outplayed in every facet of that game one loss that they suffered against the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think for the Pacers, they got to be relaxed there and just take your shots, find a quality open man out there and hit your shots. If you do so, it gives you a chance to come away to Indiana 1-1.
Yeah, they played regular season basketball. Milwaukee have dudes that have played in big games before and at least know how to play in a playoff game. Pacers, I think, will be better tomorrow night. They're going to need to get this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Rancy. So I'm just looking right now. There's so many different things to click here. But we're looking right now. Team to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Arizona Cardinals -180. Chargers +225. Patriots 8-1. Guys, like, this was like -400 before. Like, it's like the worst kept secret in sports that Marvin Harrison's going fourth to the Arizona Cardinals. He wants to be a Cardinal too. That's the thing. And the Cardinals don't have that a lot where people are like excited to be a Cardinal. He wants to be a Cardinal. He likes Kyler Murray. Marvin Harrison, I guess I read a story about how DeAndre Hopkins knows Marvin Harrison Sr. And like D-Hop played in Arizona and actually had good things to say, Mo, about it. He told him, like, yeah, Kyler Murray's good, and it's nice weather and whatever. Like, he, I know not everyone likes the owners there in Arizona, but as a whole, players don't mind. And this new coach with Arizona, I think the Cardinals are going in the right direction, personally. So I think the why, Mo, it's only minus 180, is what you talked about. I mean, some people think potentially there's a trade that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be them, personally. So I'm gonna hammer this bet. Marvin Harrison at minus 180, great odds. And I'll just double-check a couple of spots to see the numbers. Let's say the Chargers don't trade the fifth pick. They're an intriguing team. Do they go with Joe Alt, offensive line, to try to protect Herbert even more? At the same point in time, they need weapons as well, right? They don't have Mike Williams anymore. They don't have Keenan Allen anymore. They're restarting on offense almost. So it would make sense. Like, you know what I mean? It would make sense if they took a Malik Nabers or Roman Dunze with the fifth pick. And it wouldn't shock me if they took Joe Alt either, the offensive lineman. What do you think the Chargers are going to do?
Well, Gabe, Jim Harbaugh probably has the best intel on these college players, right? Because he's coached against them and knows the coach ranks.
Oh, a great advantage in this draft. Recruited, coached against, right? That's it.
100%. And you look at, I believe...
And signed his first Ohio draft. State guy. Sorry, Mo. J.K. Dobbins, right. first Buckeye that he brings in.
And you think about this, Gabe, right? I believe his first draft was 2011, Jim Harbaugh. And they took Aldon Smith with that pick. Right. And he had unfortunately, his career got off the rails, unfortunately, but he had a great first 3 years. If they stick at five, it's finding that impact player, right? Joe Alt could be the impact player to fortify the O-line and keep Justin Herbert clean, because Herbert suffered far too many injuries to the liking of the Charger brass and fan base to not be healthy for a full 17-game schedule. Now, on the flip side, we can look at Marvin Harrison Jr. for what he can bring, and that's where they lack playmakers, Gabe. You look at the depth chart right now for the L.A. Chargers. They don't have a legitimate number one receiving threat. But, again, this is a deep receiver class, a Coleman, a Pearsall. There are guys that you can get in the second and third round.
McConkey,
Georgia, right? There's guys that have first-grade value who will go on day two, if not day three, early day three, that could be quality players to be had. So if you're the LA Chargers, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you know what your DNA is to run the football and play control offense, game that we saw in Michigan and, of course, with the Niners. And a Joe Alt can change that O-line and make them much more nastier and better technicians blocking and making up or open up the holes for the running game as well.
So the odds for the Chargers pick, Malik Nabers is the favorite at plus 225. Then Marvin Harrison at plus 260. J.J. McCarthy is plus 320 to be the fifth pick. But the bet isn't like who will the Chargers take. It's who the fifth pick is going to be. So yeah. It's interesting. Like the books are shading this in that they think there still could be these trades. J.J. McCarthy plus 320. Unless we have the shock of the world, Mo. Harbaugh trades Justin Herbert at the draft and drafts his boy, J.J. McCarthy.
Look, that'll
shock the world.
Theory, right? There's been that conspiracy theory that you know, maybe Herbert is dealt and they get themselves McCarthy and then they get value for Herbert. But again, that's all conspiracy theories that we'll hear in smokescreen. But you know and I know, it's all agent talk now, right? All the agents are right now talking to NFL teams about trying to promote their players or media guys to promote this player or that player. And that's what it'll come down to, is the smoke screens that will be dissolved on draft.
You know what's interesting, though?
Who's gonna pick what?
Is, okay, so Malik Nabers, everyone's talking about him. But you just said, Harbaugh coached against Odunze, right?
Yeah.
For all we know, he might like him more than Nabers. Right, so I'm just thinking, you know, Odunze's not crazy, actually, to be the fifth pick, considering, and I'll tell you what, Odunze got open, actually, a couple of times in that game, Mo. Against Michigan, they did a good job with him for the most part, but it was really because they terrorized Penix, right, in the pocket. Like, if you recall, Penix missed Odunze once. He was wide open on a bomb. He threw it short. It could have changed the dynamic of the game, too. Like I said, like Odunze got open against Michigan. He had a good game, like better than Penix did. So it wouldn't shock me if Adunze was actually the Chargers pick ahead of Malik Nabers. And Adunze 16-1. Brock Bowers, how about this, Mo? Brock Bowers is 50-1 to be the fifth pick in the draft.
I think
Harbaugh does that, because I think Harbaugh knows I can get a tight end in the third round, fourth round, one of these kids from the Big Ten that I coached against from Iowa or something. I don't see it, but Brock Bowers is a hell of a player.
If this draft was in November, December, Brock Bowers is a top five pick. And unfortunately for him, the injuries that he suffered at the end of the season, the fact that the quarterback market has now become robust of teams trying to move up to the top four, top five, has moved him down by a notch or two. I just think now, going towards draft night, I think Brock Bowers will be a top 10 pick. No one's going to trade up for Brock Bowers, but I think it's the value that he can bring and where he lands in the system, because he can't go to a team that's not going to use a tight end. If he goes to the Jets, he might be A-Rod's best friend. If he goes to the Chargers, we know how well the tight ends worked under Jim Harbaugh. But again, a lot of moving parts here, Gabe, with Brock Bowers, but he's definitely a fascinating case file to watch out for on Thursday night.
Mo, always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. The Edmonton Oilers are smashing the Kings right now. What's your pick for the Stanley Cup, Mo? Who's going to win the Cup?
Man, this is early, but I like the Rangers a lot, man. I think the Blue Shirts have that edge to them this year. I think they do finally pull off the rare feat of being the President's Cup winner and the Cup winner as well at the end.
History might repeat itself. 1994 was Vancouver.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rough night for LA tonight. The Los Angeles Lakers get beat at the buzzer. As Jamal Murray, classic shot, too. Time is expiring. Needs the shot. Tie basketball game, although, of course, I would have preferred, I personally would have preferred overtime, as I had the over as well. I had Denver in moneyline parlays. But props to the Lakers, right? The Lakers balled tonight. They did everything they could possibly do except stop Jamal Murray from scoring at the buzzer. AD was on him. And Murray sort of gave him this little fake, like he was going to lean into the shot, but he stepped back, and AD bit on it, and it gave Murray even more room to take the shot. And so the Lakers go down, and the LA Kings are getting, like, murdered right now in Edmonton. Not a good start for the Kings in this series. And Edmonton are a type of team, too. You don't want to give them momentum and get them going. Right? Like, we all know how dangerous the Edmonton Oilers can be. And in the past, they've struggled in the playoffs before. They put a lot of pressure on themselves. Like, they didn't have good goaltending. Defensively, they weren't great. They had stars that could score. But it's coming together for them now. And horrible start if you're the Kings. Like, now, normally people in Edmonton are panicked after the first game, and they're mad, and there's booing, and the media go after the players after, and now everyone's going to leave happy and drunk, and they won. Like, right, it's just, you know, similar situation with Vancouver. Massive game tomorrow night for the Nashville Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. Which is such a big difference between 1-1 and 2-0, right? So it was a wild night of games tonight. The Knicks and the Sixers game was off the hook. So looking at tomorrow night's schedule, as long as we're on the ice here right now, tomorrow night's games in the National Hockey League, Mo Khan just said he thinks the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup, and Rangers are rolling right now. The MSG is rocking. The Rangers are minus 280 favorites, though, tomorrow night. You have to use them in parlays. They probably do win. Like, the empty nets could come into play here. It's minus 1.5 plus 100, too. So the Rangers, I'll say the Rangers cover on the puck line. We'll have the Rangers in some parlays. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. So a bunch of games are at once tomorrow night. You've got the Capitals and Rangers start at 7 o'clock Eastern. The Kings just scored to make it 6-3. This is just to terrorize in-game bettors right now. Like anybody, and I've already lost. I'm on Edmonton in the game. We hit Edmonton with a Denver Nugget parlay plus 117, but I bet the in-game total 6.5 like an idiot in this game. But you know people are betting the 9.5s and all this. But now, if it's 6-2, the LA Kings aren't going to pull their goalie. Right? No one's going to pull your goalie. No one's pulling the goalie when you're down 4 goals. Like, you just want to get the hell out of there at this point. But now that they just scored and it's 6-3, right? Yeah, there's only 3 minutes left, but I'm curious to see. I would pull the goalie. I actually would. If I was the LA Kings, I'd pull the goalie like right away here, right now. You got nothing to lose. Who cares if you lose 7-3 or whatever, right? You pull the goalie now. Let's just say hypothetically, boom, you score in the next minute. Next thing you know, you got a puncher's chance somehow. Won't happen, but so yeah, wild night tonight. So yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern, the Capitals and the Rangers. I think the Rangers are going to win by more than 1.5. The Lightning and the Panthers are at 7:30 Eastern. I think that I think it's going to be close. We haven't had an overtime game yet in the playoffs, which is unheard of, actually. I think this could be the one tomorrow. Tampa and Florida go to overtime. But I like the Lightning plus 1.5, minus 170. I think the Winnipeg Jets are being disrespected. I don't know why the game's only a pick 'em at home. They're at home. They're technically the better team than the Colorado Avalanche are. They just beat them in game one. And now it's minus 110 only in game two. Give me the Winnipeg Jets. And the Predators and the Canucks won game one. It wasn't easy. It was super close. But I think Vancouver, that was Vancouver's first playoff game in a while. It was their first home playoff game in 9 years. Similar situation to Edmonton where I think there's going to be some positivity now. I like the Canucks to play well in the first period tomorrow. I think they're going to win the game, but last night they were trailing 1-0. Look for the Canucks to score the first goal of the game and win the first period of play. We like the T-Wolves against the Suns in this series. Going to go back. We're going to take the T-Wolves again. We were on the Pacers in game one, and we lost. So I don't really have a choice but to take the Pacers again. And, man, the Dallas Mavericks were bad in game one. We're gonna go with the zigzag bounce back here with the Dallas Mavericks. Shout out to our boy Frankie, Pat Foster, and Master Control tonight. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.